all please rise for our Pledge of Allegiance?
We're done with the Pledge of Allegiance.
John Lawless, will you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May be seated. Before I start with roll call, is there anyone in need of a hearing device? That has one, that doesn't have one? Is your hearing device working? It's working? Okay. We have several council members absent tonight. Gina Doro is sick, and if you'd have seen her 10 minutes ago like I did, you wouldn't want her here either. So I'd entertain a motion to excuse Gina Doro from our meeting tonight.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to excuse Gina Doro from the meeting tonight. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Secondly, I got a call from Ken Johnson about a half hour ago. He was going to run the meeting tonight because I've been sick, and he had a mini emergency arise and asked if I would come. So we need a motion to excuse Ken Johnson tonight from our meeting.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item, 1.4, on our agenda is citizen input. Is there anyone from our audience who has a prepared statement or would like to address the mayor and council tonight? Okay. Our next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. I think I need input from our police chief, Steve Dunnigan, regarding the public hearing we were going to have on the abatement of 306 East Hemlock and the resolution.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, good evening. Members of the council, good evening. That property has been taken care of through voluntary compliance, so there's no need to go any farther with abatement process. I've inspected the property. It's all cleaned up. The camper's gone. The sticks are gone. Which will be. So
okay.
Thank you very much for your consideration, but it does not need to happen.
Okay. Thank you. So with that, then I would entertain a motion to remove items 4.2 and 4.3 from the current agenda as published.
I'd make that motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now with that, can we approve the agenda as item number 2? Okay. Thank you, Debbie. Item number 3, the consent agenda. I would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda for the minutes, the accounts payable, and for 2013 and 2014.
Make that motion.
John made the motion. Second, Dan Deaver. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. This time, we are going to have a public hearing tonight for the Hampton annexation, and I'd like to open the public hearing now at 7:04 p.m., and we will receive a staff report from our own Daryl Piercy and receive public comments on the petition to annex filed by Naomi Hampton. And this public hearing is required by state law, and I ask Daryl to give us a report.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the council, good evening. For the record, Daryl Piercy, your city planner. Before you for consideration this evening, as part of the public hearing process, you will be taking public testimony regarding the application for a petition for annexation that has been submitted to the city of Othello by Naomi Hampton, who is representing R.A. Hampton LLC. And just so you're aware, we are asking the applicant in this case to provide additional information in regards to the authority of Naomi Hampton in terms of signing and submitting the petition on behalf of the LLC. However, we do believe she has that authority, and they'll be providing the appropriate documentation of that as we move through this process. So I just wanted to clarify that as we move into this discussion. You may recall, and I would like to give you just a bit of background, because we actually started this process last year under a different council, and I know we have new council members with us this evening. So I would like to give just a bit of background in regards to this particular annexation and also the annexation process in general, and why we're here this evening conducting the public hearing, and then what's ahead of us in the future. When the petition for annexation was received by the city, we brought that before the city council in December of 2013. And at that time, it was the council's option to either accept the petition for annexation or reject the petition. Now, the council voted at that time to accept the petition for annexation, but it did not encumber the council in terms of whether or not ultimately they would either approve or disapprove the annexation request. It merely indicated the council's willingness to hear additional information and to continue along the legal process that's required as part of an annexation of process into the jurisdictional authority of the city of Othello. So the next step in that process leads us to this evening, which is the public hearing, in which you have the opportunity to take public testimony in regards to the annexation issues themselves, and also to have a discussion in regards to the potential zoning of the property, which in this case in the petition is requested by the applicant to be commercial one zoning, or C1. And to give you a little bit more background, if I can find my pointer, and if you could go to the section of the application that has the map, so I could have the overhead map. I believe it's in that, it was about 2 pages or 3 pages down into that document. But you'll see on the map that this property is located along 14th Street in the city of Othello, just north of the intersection of 14th and the State Highway, or just directly adjacent and to the south of the new elementary school on 14th. And this is also adjacent to what is currently a private roadway, but in the future it is intended to be designated as an extension of Scootby Street. And that's in part an agreement that we have with the school district as part of the development for that project. And any development now on this adjacent property to the south would then require the full development of Scootby to the east of that location. So it'll make more sense once you get the map up, I think, and I can show you that on a visual. And it's loading. The other thing to consider is that we cannot conclude the process this evening. If you were to, your intention is to move this process forward, in other words, if you're interested in furthering discussion on the annexation request, you will need to conduct an additional public hearing that's required under law in order to set the zoning for that parcel. So we will have another hearing before you to consider the actual zoning that would be designated for this annexation request should you decide to move forward. Now, the parcel is approximately 20 acres, and I'll use my pointer over here. Can you get it to work? Try to get it. The parcel is located right here, and it's a 20-acre parcel. This is 14th, and this is the state highway at this location. So you can see it's just one 20-acre parcel removed from the state highway. The school district is, or the school, elementary school is directly adjacent to the north at this location. And this would be the Scootby Street extension that would come along this northern property line. And this is currently all a residential zoning and housing developments that are currently taking place, both for Ashwood Notch, and then historically over the last several years, new housing has been located in this area. The only commercial zoning in the vicinity is located right here at this corner. There's approximately a 15 to 20 acre parcel at this location that is zoned commercial that's directly at the intersection of 14th and the state highway. So, on that
westerly portion of that intersection, that's commercial zoning. Otherwise, all of the zoning in the immediate vicinity is residential, and it just happens that the zoning in that area has been designated as residential 4, which is a fairly high density residential zoning designation. Now, the issues before you tonight, as I indicated, would be to take public testimony in regards to this project. We do have a representative here of the applicant, Mr. Larry Angel, who is representing the Hamptons in this matter, and I'm sure is prepared to speak to any issues or questions that you might have in regards to this request as well. With that brief background and the information that's before you in your packets, I close my presentation at this point and be prepared to offer and respond to any questions that you might have either now or later in this hearing.
I do have some questions, but I think we'll take the public testimony first.
Okay.
So now I'll ask for public testimony, questions, or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so that I might recognize you. And after I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Mike Crozier.
My name is Michael Crozier. I live at 625 North 11th Avenue North here in Apollo. I don't think this has really been that well thought out, because this intersection here has to be developed in terms of overpass before the problem with Broadway and this highway are taken care of. You have to have a place to move some of those businesses at Broadway and the highway, and this would be the places where you would move them. And you would have like an overpass here, like you would have out here. And there is a road that when you extend it, it's a frontage road that comes along here and would join 14th Avenue here, but is down here. So there's really not enough of this map so you can see the whole problem and all of the unintended consequences of just annexing this thing. There's no overpass that's superimposed here, and I would assume that that's the overall traffic plan, part of the overall traffic plan that we would adopt in terms of the long range situation, because you have this point of access to the highway and the Broadway point that's down here. And I just don't think that bringing it in as commercial, when in fact most of it, a good section of this is going to want to be public right of way, so that you can build that thing, that overpass, that interchange here. Otherwise, what happens? Okay, and you've seen it happen in other communities. They build a bypass highway that goes around. And so you don't have any commercial, you don't have anybody coming off the highway for commercial services anyway. They just go whistling right on through. We wind up being like Radiator Springs, okay? It just goes blowing by us and we don't get any good out of it. So if we go ahead and we plan this interchange here, we've already got an interchange down here and one at Broadway, then we have this commercial access that runs all the way along here. And if we actually develop that frontage road that runs along here and have commercial business on one side and half the block the other way, then we've completely developed it. What you see is probably something that's a work in progress, but only about a quarter thought out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crozier. Is there any other public testimony at this time? Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Yes.
Thank Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. I'll just introduce myself, and if you have any questions, I'll attempt to answer them. For the record, I'm Larry Angel. I'm a planner with Columbia Northwest Engineering, 249 North Elder Street, Moses Lake, Washington. And there is a range of information I can share with you this evening. And if you have any questions, I'll attempt to address those as best I can. So with that, I would leave it at that and just defer to any questions you might have.
You said you had a range of information?
Well, basically, the range of information that I would have to share with you this evening is what Mr. Piercy has submitted in his staff report. And he's submitted a very comprehensive and very complete staff report. And as you're all aware, in the development process, you take it step by step. And the first step in the development process is going to be, annexation into the city of Othello. As we work our way through the development process, of course, we'd be looking at if it's approved for annexation with the zoning as requested, then we'd have to plat the property and develop the property in conformance with all the city's applicable regulations. And as part of that process, of course, any developer would have to work with the city and the Washington State Department of Transportation in regard to impacts, identification, and mitigation of any impacts, such as traffic, for example. So just in terms of the presentation and the information I can share with you this evening, I can share with you that Mrs. Hampton is desirous of having the property annexed into the city. With that annexation, she is desirous of having the ability to develop that property within the scope and range of the permitted activities and uses that are allowed in the C1 Commercial 1 Zone District. And of course, any development, again, would have to be fully in compliance with all of the city's regulations, rules, including CEPA environmental review, plotting of the property, any special use or conditional use permits, and of course, addressing any and all traffic impacts, mitigations that might be required.
So at this point, Mr. Angel, it's Mr. Angel, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yes. As Daryl described, we're hearing public testimony on the petition for annexation. And then the next step in the process is a petition for zoning of the property after it's been annexed. I mean, I need a little education here as to far as matriculates when.
Well, I'm kind of in the educational process too, because every community does it a little bit differently. Basically, Mrs. Hampton is requesting annexation of the property into the city of Othello with the zone designation of C1 commercial. So however the city would address that, that would be the request that she is presenting to you.
Okay.
It's in the documents.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It was in the documents provided.
Yes,
by Daryl.
Yes, sir.
So,
all right. Does anyone have any questions of Mr. Angel?
Thank you.
Corey had a question.
If she gets it annexed in, does she already have a plan for a business there, or she just wants it, the ability to put a commercial business there?
I think that there are some candidates that have been talking to Mrs. Hampton in regard to the potential development of the property. I don't know that she has a specific plan in that regard. But my impression is that the process of development would move fairly rapidly if this property is annexed into the city.
Is there anyone else who would like to comment with regard to this petition for annexation by Naomi Hampton? Please raise your hand. Okay. Daryl, would you like to respond to any of the public testimony at this time?
Yes, I would. And again, for the record, Darrell Piercy, city planner. The only comment I would have is that, at least at this point, in other developments that have taken place along the 14th Street corridor, and in our conversations as part of those, going through both the environmental review process and our seeking of comments from other agencies, we've had a close working relationship with the Department of Transportation at the state of Washington in regards to the transportation needs for this corridor and for the state highway. And I think it, well, I appreciate the comments in regards to anticipation and trying to consider future needs. It's extremely unlikely that we would see the 14th Street intersection with the state highway as being one of those that would be considered a main entryway into the city of Othello. We already have that taking place at several other locations within the city. And since 14th Street is predominantly a residential arterial, it goes through residential neighborhoods rather than commercial districts, it generally would not be considered one that you would want to utilize and develop for a main entryway into the city. So therefore, you would probably want to not encourage the development of the kind of interchange that was being spoken to in regards to what might take place at the intersection with the state highway. It's highly unlikely and probably not beneficial to the city because of the location in which that traffic would enter into the city through residential streets. So while I appreciate the idea that we do need to think about the future needs for the city, I think that actually has already been considered in a lot of advanced planning, both by the state highway department as well as the zoning designations that we've undertaken within the city. So while I wouldn't discount it altogether as a needed point in way in the future, at least at this point, it's not on the radar for the Department of Transportation and certainly hasn't been in our planning for the development of the city as we develop 14th Street over the years. So I'm not sure that that issue is as significant as perhaps was discussed. In regards to the process, again, just that we are looking at only the annexation issue and subsequently the zoning designation that would be placed on that. In the event that the property is developed at some point in the future, there would be another separate process through the platting process before the hearing examiner and application of all required city codes and development requirements when that property would be developed in a commercial nature if that's how you chose to zone that in the future. It would also go through a pretty extensive environmental review through the CEPA review process, and at that time, again, all of those state agencies that handle transportation needs along the state corridor, as well as any other agency that might have an interest in that, or any citizen, could comment on the specific development and the impact that it would have in terms of transportation needs. So we could certainly address those intersection improvement needs at that time based on that specific development and also look at the area as a whole as part of that through that planning process for the development as well.
So I have a question for you. The petition tonight for annexation, that conforms to our regulations currently. It conforms to our comprehensive plan and those objectives and goals.
It does, to a large degree. Now, our comprehensive plan, as you may be aware, and I'm sure most council are aware, that is woefully outdated. And we are working towards the development of a new comprehensive plan. This area is identified in that new comprehensive planning process that has gone through the Planning Commission and is now to the council for further action that we'll be undertaking over the course of the next year. Identifies this area as the future growth area for the city of Othello. From here out to the highway interchanges, both east and north. So this is the area where the Planning Commission anticipated that growth would occur. Now, they didn't specifically say the growth should occur here on this parcel in a residential or a commercial nature, but they did tend to speak in terms of generalities, and this is the area where the residential growth would occur from here to the highway going east, with some recognition that as you near the interchanges, there's a need and an appropriate location for commercial development. So the closer you get to the state highway, the more likely and the more apt that there's going to be a demand for and a need for for additional commercial services that would serve not only the citizens of Othello, but also the traveling public as well.
Thank you, Tom.
Could you indicate on the map where the current, well, the current city limits are extended to?
Currently, the city limits follow along 14th from the state highway. And
so everything to the left of that?
Everything to the left of that, to the west,
is currently city, city?
Yes.
Okay.
So along the roadway, and then the boundary is located right here at the school district, or Scootney.
Now, does that extend all the way across?
It extends to that point.
Okay, so just for the quarter section?
And then it comes down to the north, and then there's another parcel that comes across and extends to about there, and then comes back to Cemetery Road.
Okay, so the cemetery is not in city limits?
Cemetery to that point is.
Okay. What, can you briefly describe what else is included in a commercial C1 property?
Well, there, well, you mean the uses that might
yes,
be
Yes, what
allowed?
Are the uses of that?
It would be similar zoning to what we currently have along Main Street. As you come into Othello, that's a C1 zone. It's generally considered for retail, general retail use, professional offices, customer service oriented types of businesses. What it wouldn't include are high intensity businesses. Automobile sales lots, for example, would not be a C1 zone. Any kind of an industrial use would not be a C1 zone. So it's really focused primarily on retail and customer or community service type professional services, lawyers' offices, dentists, insurance offices, those
okay.
types of uses would be allowed in the C1 zone.
Okay.
If you see it on Main Street, it would probably be allowed.
But that would be another issue. The issue tonight is whether or not to annex the lands.
Yeah. Eventually, what this would lead to, if you believe that annexation is a positive thing for the city and you would want to encourage and vote for that, and then once you have that sense, then you determine what the appropriate zoning is, and in this case, the petition has asked for a C1 zone. Then what that will lead to is a second public hearing, and ultimately that would lead to an adoption of an ordinance that would approve the annexation and clearly identify the zoning that's established as part of the annexation adoption. So tonight your actions would not be to finalize the annexation, it would merely be to keep it moving forward if that's your choice.
Is there potentially the splitting of the property for different zonings?
Well, the property could be subdivided. Now, the applicant in this case has not asked for, you know, divide or separate zoning from parcel to parcel, and frankly, it wouldn't be something that as a planner I would recommend that we split a parcel with different types of zoning. Because generally, zoning is intended to be broader in character than a parcel by parcel, but for 20 acres, that's generally considered a sufficient size to establish a zone, even if the zone is somewhat different than adjoining zones, because it's enough room to be able to provide some buffers and some other amenities on the site that would screen it, for instance, from adjacent uses and those things. So I think with a parcel that size, you could develop it commercially and still not have a huge impact on the surrounding residential zones. But if you got much smaller than that, you would begin to run into some opportunities for some significant conflicts, I think.
Okay.
Do you have anything further, Bill?
No.
Council?
You said there's several main entrances to the city?
Yes.
I assume that two of those are off Lee Road, the trucker's entrances, on the north side of town. And then
right.
the one that goes by Walmart on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one down on First.
Correct.
Okay, that's right.
Correct.
And then the one on 14th.
Correct.
Okay.
And the one on 14th is the only one that really brings traffic through a residential neighborhood currently.
And I guess comment, I just, okay, is it comment time for the rest of us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's been my thought for quite some time that 14th Avenue is going to be a brouhaha just like First Avenue. You're going to have the same problem there. Because you have the Hampton property on the south side of the road where you'd have to take out a house and all that kind of stuff, if you're going to put in some kind of an interchange, you have a canal that runs through there, and we're going to change this. How are we going to work this so that this becomes a reasonable entry off the highway? There are three schools located right here in this area, and many of the people that come from the south and the west part of town, they have children that go to school there, they come up 14. If you park up there and watch that in the morning and the time school is out, and even in the evening, that is a busy, busy, busy street and a busy intersection. I could understand maybe putting a commercial at the intersection corner there, but then, as Mr. Crozier brought out, if you're going to put an interchange there, then that eliminates that piece of property adjacent to the highway and 14th in the corner. So I don't know, is commercial the best way to zone that right next door to a school, in between two, three schools? Because if you got, you take a look at the number of kids that cross the highway, the street down here, going to Subway and McDonald's at noon, you're going to have the same thing with the junior high. They'll be trucking up there to go to something like that. So I just wonder if that's a really reasonable use of the property for the in the future of the community, to make that into a commercial area with the three schools there. I question that usage.
Well, that's another issue for another date, but tonight we're just trying to decide on whether to continue with the application for the annexation.
I guess you can continue. It's
the process as it's laid out before us is tonight we would approve the annexation into the city, the property, and then
not tonight. Is that right, Catherine?
No, tonight's just the public hearing. Yeah. All we're doing is talking about it tonight. There's no approving.
I have in my notes moved to approve the annexation request.
If you chose to, you could approve the annexation. We do not have any of the enabling documents that would allow you to do that this evening. We'd have to bring them back at a second meeting. And the anticipation was is that once we know what the zoning designation would be, we'd bring that back in a single ordinance action that would identify the annexation as well as the zoning that would be assigned to that annexation. So probably the best way to handle that would be to continue this public hearing to the date identified in that
February 10th.
Recommendation, February 10th. So you would continue the hearing to February 10th to consider further testimony specific to the zoning designation that is being requested by the applicant.
I have a question for this gentleman again. If she can't get the commercial, the C1 zoning, is she going to want to follow through with the annexation?
Pardon?
If she can't get it zoned into C1, is she going to want to follow through with getting it annexed into the city? If it's not approved for C1 rather than a residential or...
I can't speak definitively, but probably no, probably not.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any other further questions of the council or staff?
Well, I'm just wondering if we have some sort of preliminary zoning documentation that we have put together. Do you have that?
You mean like what have we anticipated for this area?
Yeah, have you?
The best we have is recently the Planning Commission looked at where the future growth of the city should take place and has provided that recommendation forward to the council. In this particular area, they saw this as the area where the city would grow. In other words, this would be areas where the city would further annex property and bring them into the city. and looked at that area primarily for residential use.
You say they presented that to the council?
Well, they passed that recommendation forward. The council has not yet had an opportunity to review and act on that recommendation, but that will be something that will take place over the course of the next year. In other words, over the next several months.
We're trying to decide on some things that are happening today, right now.
Yes.
So that information would be useful.
I understand.
It should have been included in the documentation, at least.
But because we have an application before us, what we have to look at is what is on the books today as part of this application. And because our
okay, so on the books today, what is designated what out there in that area?
As our comprehensive plan is currently adopted, it does not address that area. It's silent.
What does it address around it, side by next to it? You have anything?
No. And that's one of the...
But we have residential building going on right there right now, and then there's people speaking of a school that's there.
The residential building and the school are all within the city's jurisdiction. This property currently is within the county jurisdiction.
But all I'm trying to do is come to a conclusion of what is available, what's there now, and what's going to be available to answer questions like what Tori has.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, our current comprehensive plan doesn't give us those answers.
Mm-hmm. The old one doesn't give us anything there.
Okay.
It's just the new one that said, okay, it's going to go this way and north, east and north. My understanding, because we're pretty well tied south and west, we're not.
When the Planning Commission looked at that issue, they saw that the only real area to adequately extend city utilities and other services and have enough vacant land to accommodate the anticipated growth of the city in the future is really to look at this area going east to the freeway, to the highway, and then the area north of Walmart going out to Lee Road. Those are really the areas that the Planning Commission saw as potential future growth areas for the city.
Well, is there any way we could get that information so that we could make a rational decision with regard to this?
The draft that the Planning Commission put together is in the form that's been presented to the council. You probably don't have your copy yet. We'll get you a copy of that. We will be bringing that to council to... It's going to be quite, a lengthy discussion in terms of how that gets adopted and what elements are going to be included in that. Right now, all we have is the Planning Commission recommendation, but we can certainly provide that to you. We'll have that available to you this week, and then you'll have an opportunity to do that for the next meeting.
Okay, good.
Is there any other questions from the council? Clarifications? Direction. Okay. Then I'm going to need direction from staff. Are we suspending this public hearing till the 10th, or are we? What process are we in at this point?
I would recommend, based upon the questions that have been raised and the request for additional information by council members, that you continue this public hearing to the next meeting, coincident with the consideration of not only the zoning issue, but the overall annexation issue.
Okay. What would be the alternative?
The alternative would to be either to approve the annexation and then hold your public hearing on the zoning designation.
So we could approve the annexation right now at this time?
You could approve the annexation. Staff would have to prepare the annexation ordinance and bring it back at the next meeting for council. But the other alternative for council tonight is to direct staff to cease processing the annexation request. I mean, the process either continues to move forward or the process dies.
Should we? I don't think the annexation thing should be even on the table, being that we're not 100% that she has all authorization to do so. Because that was said at the earlier part of it, that there were still some documents that you were waiting on, correct?
We just want to ensure that she does, in fact, have the legal capacity to sign on behalf of the LLC. We believe that to be true, but before we would bring an ordinance to you to adopt, we would ensure that we have the proper legal authority for this particular applicant to sign on behalf of the LLC.
So then we can't cannot annex it in tonight without that part, correct?
Well, the approval of the annexation ordinance would be contingent on them providing verification that she has authority to sign.
But we could make a motion tonight to continue with the annexation, or?
Continue with the annexation process.
If you continue the public hearing, you would in essence be doing that, because you would be.
Well, then I would like to make a motion to continue with the annexation process.
And I'll second.
Until February 10th?
That would be fine.
Okay. Motion's been made by John, seconded by Eugene, to continue the process till February 10th.
And if I could ask a question, does that include the public hearing, the continuation of the public hearing as well?
Yeah, we'll have to decide on zoning and stuff at that time, right?
Well, you would, at your next meeting, there had been anticipated a public hearing to consider the zoning, but did you want to continue the public hearing as to the overall annexation plus zoning?
I believe the two would go together. I mean, there's going to be interest on what type of zoning it's going to be if it's annexed. I mean.
Then I would just ask that you clarify your motion to continue the public hearing as well as the process to the next meeting.
Okay. Question, the clarification.
I would move to amend the original motion to say continue the hearing until the 10th of February.
Make that motion.
The motion accepts that.
Accept that. Second. Okay, so now can we restate it? The motion?
Restate the motion with the. Okay.
Yep. Then make a motion that we continue to.
Public hearing.
The public hearing to February 10th.
Okay, yeah. That.
On the annexation.
Does that satisfy everything, Catherine?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Public hearing closes tonight, 7:42 p.m. Next item on our agenda, 4.4, remember some of this from last year, and now that's carried forward to this year about the City Hall copy machine. Jennifer?
Good evening, Mayor Logan and Council. For the record, I am Jennifer Derpo Huang, an Administrative Secretary here at City Hall. Tonight I'm presenting the information I've collected regarding the replacement of our current photocopier. Council budgeted for a new copier for City Hall to replace the 10-year-old machine that we're using now. We were informed that due to the age of the copier, it's getting very difficult to get parts for the needed repairs as they do happen. We have lease options for three different machines from three different companies. Leasing a machine will allow the city more flexibility, as well as the ability to upgrade in 4 years or possibly sooner if necessary. The three machines have very similar capabilities, each being a multifunction printer. Will serve as a primary printer for all City Hall staff, a color copier, as well as a scanner. In addition, it will have a USB port. That way other departments could bring information to the printer and print it there. It will also have the ability to scan directly into email and offer password printing, which gives security to the person printing the document, whether it be finance doing something with personnel, or if you just need the printer to wait till you get there to put letterhead in. You punch in your code after you put in the letterhead, and it's ready to go. The Xerox machine would be approximately $239 per month for a 4-year lease. The Konica Minolta would be $351, and the Kyocera would be about $310. We were given the opportunity. We were given the option of a 3-year, a 4-year, or a 5-year lease. It was determined a 3-year lease would not be cost effective, and a 5-year lease could possibly be too large of a span of time to keep up with technology. Maintenance agreement would be in addition to the lease payment. It would cover all parts, labor, and the consumables, which includes the black the drums and the fusers and all those different parts that make up those big machines. It would also include the training and the customer service should we have any software issues. The maintenance agreements were all very similar, however, they differ just a little bit in the per page charge. We used the numbers estimating that the city would make approximately 1,000 black and white copies and 2,500 color copies per month. So the maintenance agreements would be approximately $132 for the Xerox, $155 for the Konica, and the Cayos Row would be about $106. Last year, the city spent over $4,500 just on toner for the many, many printers that we currently have here. That cost would far exceed any monthly service agreement that we would need to maintain this new printer. And by utilizing that printer, we plan on eliminating 8 printers, number of scanners, color copiers, things like that. So there would be considerable savings. We would be left with the new printer. We would have one backup printer because you never know what can happen, and finance will keep a printer for their use. And the council has put $3,000 in the budget to replace the current copier. And staff recommends leasing the Xerox Work Center 7855 PT for a 4-year term, including the maintenance agreement.
Is there any questions of Jennifer? Very good. Well done, Jennifer. Okay. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to enter into a lease with the Xerox for the Xerox Work Center.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Second.
Seconded. All those in any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Jennifer. Agenda website photos.
Wade Ferris, City Administrator. Last year, when we were discussing the budget, we had tried to budget $1,000 for these website photos, photos for the website, rather, because we needed to update them, because we knew we were going to get a new mayor, a couple of city councilmen. I'm new. Some of the other council members had to get updated photos. And the council at the time recommended that we not budget $1,000. So we went out and got an actual cost for it, which is $750, which provides us professional photos, which we need to go on the website to make it look like a professional website. So that's why we're bringing it for the council tonight, and we ask that you all consider that.
Okay. We just need a consensus, because I think I assume you're going to take it out of somewhere out of the current budget.
Yes, we have a current budget, right, expansion that we had for what line item that we...
I don't have a specific line item right now, but out of the general fund, we can easily cut that.
Okay. I just needed consensus tonight, then.
This will cover 14 total photographs.
Comes with me.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's quite a bit. $750 for 14 pictures. It's for the pictures and then loading them on the website.
Saving fee. When you go to a professional photographer.
Yeah, I understand that. I think it's too much. You know, we've got some great areas around town. The city owns a camera. You know,
this is a company from within.
That's my opinion.
Does anybody concur with Corey? Okay. Majority rules, Corey. So you'll still be there for the pictures, all right?
So make a motion?
No, we don't need a motion.
Okay.
We're going to take it out of our current budget.
All right.
If we had to amend the budget, we would need a motion.
I thought that was shot down. Oh, they're just going to. Okay.
We're just going to take it out of our existing budget.
Okay.
Item 4.6, review of ordinance 1361. Wade.
At the Mayor, City Council, at the last workshop, we had back in January 6th, as the verbiage says there, there was concern expressed about our process for and the legality of having a workshop. So we had the staff do some extensive research on that. We found that we were indeed legal to have a council workshop once a month to discuss issues. We also were legal to pass ordinances, make decisions, voter ordinances for the RCW. So there was no issue there. What we discovered was that we needed to allow the public to speak, and as the mayor addressed in his first council meeting, I believe, he said he was going to change the policy and procedure that we will allow citizens to speak on these issues, especially the ones we're going to vote on. So while the main purpose of the workshops were for informational, like we're doing tonight, on some of these things, and we do have to make decisions, which will be, we'll try and reduce those, as the mayor said, the workshops, we will allow citizens to make inputs. And to that, Mayor, I'll turn it over to you for further discussion.
Okay, thank you. Is there any council discussion on this? Is there any public input on this? Sean?
Mayor and Council, for the record, my name is Sean Bates. I live at 1156 East Juniper Street here in Othello. And to clarify this evening, what I see to be the crux of the issue here, I want citizen input as a banner headline on the agenda for every single meeting held in this chamber to be enshrined in writing for every meeting of the City Council where a council will exercise the ability to vote on items, regular or workshop. Or I want council to restore workshop meetings to the former form where items were only discussed but not voted on. That's the crux of the argument. So just to clarify and just make it as simple as I can. Thank you.
Does anyone from the council want to respond? Staff, or Dan, did you have a comment?
Seems like in the agenda, there is a place for public comment. And if it says that on for every meeting, then I it seems like it'd be redundant to print it on the front of on the top of the paperwork. I according to what it says, it's legal for us to do it, and I haven't seen any time when anybody's been denied, you know, really, if somebody stands up and says, I really need to speak to this. I don't recall anybody denying them the chance to speak, even at a workshop. So maybe I'm mistaken, but.
I think what Sean, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, is saying, on the agenda on our board docs here, if you'll look, when it says workshop, it's call to order, pledge of allegiance, roll call. Whereas on our actual council meetings, underneath roll call, it says citizen input. That's what you're wanting, correct? Is the citizen input put below
roll call? You don't want that left out of the workshop.
Right, if we're going to vote.
Agenda.
Right.
Okay. So you'd like that four-step process that's in the regular meetings to be in the workshop meetings. Whether or not it happens or occurs, you want the ability for it to be there.
Correct. Correct. And the reason for it is because workshop meetings used to be all about informing yourself. You didn't have the pressure of having to make a decision on a snap moment notice. Stupid things happen when things get done too fast. So I want for council to have the freedom to consider and really work out the issues in their mind before moving on things. Now, I agree with the RCW that's been brought forward, that council does have the ability to vote on things at meetings. What I want to see enshrined is 1.4, citizen input, be included in workshop meetings if council wants to continue this new form, because it's ipso facto, by, you know, just by nature of making it something that you can vote on, action items at workshop meetings, you basically eliminated the workshop element of things. You're still considering things, but you're considering things every time you get together. You're voting on things every time you get together. This is above the emergency powers that council has always held for when a well goes down or any other emergencies that the city faces. Those things we expect as citizens for the council to move on, even outside of a normal council meeting. And so, again, just to put a fine point on it, by not allowing for citizen input since the affirmation of this ordinance back in April of last year, and Mr. Deaver, I understand your point that no one has been denied, but no one has also been given the opportunity to have citizen input. And so, to say it in kind of a comical way, it gives the citizens a case of athlete's scalp to not even have the opportunity, much less to exercise it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. To respond, this is still my meeting.
Yes, sir.
And we will put citizen input on those, and I will still continue to allow citizen input throughout the meeting.
Thank you very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Is there any other further comment about that review of the ordinance? Okay. Is there any unfinished business to come before the fellow city council tonight? Under new business, is there any new business that needs to come before the city council tonight? I do have one mayor's announcement. The annual Chamber of Commerce banquet will be held Friday night, February 21st, with a lively auction. We're honoring the trucking community, and the attendance is expected to be over 250 people, which is about 100 more than we had last year. It's also where we hand out the awards for Citizen of the Year, Teachers of the Year, Civil Servant of the Year, Business of the Year, and so it's probably Othello's biggest social and business function of the entire year. So I would encourage city council members to, if they can, make time to attend, submit a nomination for a citizen, teacher, business, or civil servant of the year, if you know or aware of somebody who would be worthy. And I think that's about it. We have last year's Citizen of the Year in our presence, Ken Kaler. That's the only announcement I have. Does anybody here have any other announcements? No? Council will receive department heads' December reports. Anything else to come before the city council tonight? Okay, that I'll adjourn at 7:58 p.m.